One is not allowed to sell to a goy, nor to right before Shabbos begins. Lo tani mo, nor to help him load his animal. Lo magbein imo, nor are you allowed. You're not allowed to load him up. El kedei shagia mo korv, unless he can reach a nearby destination before Shabbos begins. Beis Hillel matir, Beis Hillel says it's permissible as long as he leaves your house with the before Shabbos begins. It's fine. Ezu makom korov. What is considered to be a makom korov, a near place which he has to reach before Shabbos begins? Kai de Omar, kai de Mar Shmuel, like Shmuel said, kigon min chutra lenardo. The distance from chutra to nardo, that's a nearby place where you can reach before Shabbos begins, and that's sufficient. I guess it's nearby. Okay, chutra nardo are next to each other. Afachakein. So too, it's the same idea. Easter boy Maymar, there are others who gave different shurim. They said, Achumagil Beisel. There has to be enough time before Shabbos begins, according to Beis Shammai, for the goy to get to his house, right, with whatever he's carrying. Easter boy Maymar, and some wanted to say, Achumagil Iro. There's to be enough time before Shabbos begins for the goy to take his load, which he took from the Jew, to his own city. Rabbi Akiva says, no, you don't need that much. Rather, as long as he goes out from the place where the opening is, meaning from the door of the Jew's house, even if the Shabbos begins meeting thereafter, that is sufficient, and he's allowed to give the goy that load right before Shabbos. That's like great. So, I'm Rabbi Yochanan Zudi ve Rabbi Yossi. This is the words of Rabbi Yossi. In other words, what I'm about to tell you, Rabbi Yossi said, that Rabbi Akiva bal achriel di Rabbi Yossi. The Akiva is coming to determine what Basilo meant. In other words, yes, like you said.
Why does Beis Shammai feel this way? So what if the goy is...
It's Mar Zayin. Looks like he's working on your behalf because he left your house. So, you know, the implication is that he's caring for you, even though he's not really. But that's the implication. Okay. Einoslim akum amnas lotzeis. One cannot give a goy with the condition that he's going to go out and take something out on Shabbos. Not of yotza einat zokuklo. If he takes and goes on his own, then it's not your problem. It's hard to conceive of this in a house, but I guess in a city with an eruv or a chutzah with an eruv, it's very simple, right? You give it to him, right? If he then leaves it, then that's his problem, not your problem. Okay. So the main thing is that you can't make the condition with him that or intend for him to leave with the object he's carrying. Similarly, you can't give a dog an object with the intent that the dog will carry it out. Not of the other, if the dog happens to carry it out, ain at zokuklo, you're not concerned. In other words, it doesn't bother you because you didn't intend for the dog to take out whatever the bone or whatever you gave the dog. Tani, learn. Umnin akum, non-Jewish craftsmen. Show you osim im Yisrael b'soch beisel sheyisrael, who are working for a Jew in a Jew's house, usher. That's forbidden for them to work on Shabbos for you. Im b'soch boteyam, if it's within their own houses, not to working by you, but they're doing the work in their own place, mutter, that's permissible. Rav Shimon Elazar, Shimon Elazar said, b'med var murim, when is this true? B'kiboles, when you're contracting the work. Okay, when in other words, he's working on contract, not getting paid by the hour or the day. Avoschayim is getting paid per diem, then also it's forbidden. By medvar murim, when is it true? B'tol shmina karka, when the stuff is severed from the ground. Avom mechubla karka, but if it's something which is connected to the ground, in other words, even building trades, I mean, he's building for you, so then also it's also even if he's a contractor. But you have a very famous halacha, one is not allowed to have a contract to work on one's house on Shabbos. Even though it's bekibolas, even though he's contracting, not getting paid per diem, it's still forbidden. It's too big a marah sign. Chazal forbade it. Okay? Uvir acheres, if however, it is a different city, benkach u benkach mutzer, then it's okay because nobody perceives that. There's a whole shaila, you know, what's considered nowadays a different city. If you have people building for you downtown, is that considered to be a different city than where the Jews live? You know, there are many different shilas about that.
The truth is, today, who really knows who owns the building?
Well, that's sure. You know who's building a house in your neighborhood.
Well, the bank house. You know, bank house, commercial property. You don't know.
Well, very often there are signs. Yeah, sure. They put signs up. Who's building the building? Sure, it's fair. I mean, it's
who's
possible.
Building, who owns the building?
No, I don't. Well, I don't know. Sure. Still, the bank doesn't own the building. You own the building, but they have a they have a lien on the building. But it's also for you to. I don't think it's much for you to build on Shabbos. I know the Reichmans; they never built on Shabbos. They always had all project cease. So. Don't worry. How Levi that you should have a fraction of what they had after their Mapala. Okay? You shouldn't be so worried about them. Okay? Right? If it's another city, then it's mutter for that mutter. They're allowed to build regardless. Mao Benkach Benkach. What does it mean? Benkach Benkach. As we just iterated, bein betolish bein mechubar, whether it's stuff which is severed to the ground, connected to the ground, bein beschir bein mekibolus, whether it is per diem or by contractor, says Mar, no, not that far. Am Rabila said bein betolish bein mechubar, yes, it can be both connected or disconnected from the ground, uvad bekibolus, but it must be contractor. You cannot pay by the day. Rabbi Shimon bar Karsa, Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Acho said. By Shabbos, the case we just saw, their contracting is mutter, but per diem is aser. You're not allowed to have a worker work for you when you're in avel, Rachmana Litzlan, right? You can't have workers do your work for you. Uva avoid a zara. Yeah, it's halacha l'maisa. You're not allowed to concern yourself during the week of Shiva at all with anything to do with your work.
You're not supposed to concern yourself. But you're saying, it's not about concerning yourself. That's not the issue. We're saying that somebody's working for you. You can't have somebody work for you.
You can't hire somebody to work for you during that time.
The way you're phrasing it now implies that you're initially hiring them during a period of availability. How about prior to availability?
Same thing.
In a store can't.
Store has to be closed. Yeah. Store has to be closed during Shiva. Yeah. I mean, if there's another owner, then obviously the other owner has the right to keep it going. But as far as you're concerned, you're part of the shutfus. You can't. You can't keep up for that week. Rabbi Shimon bar Karsa, Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Acho said again. B'Shabbos Veivel Uva Avodah Zorah. Avodah Zorah is halacha, which is kind of out of left field. Nothing to do with our sugya. But you're not allowed to rent your house to a guy who's going to worship Avodah Zarah therein. Now, that's, for instance, rent your house to a Hindu. So this is all brings up all sorts of problems nowadays.
This is renting the house.
This is renting, right. Selling is okay. Once you sell, there's no problem. It's not yours anymore. But renting, there's all problem with businesses which are open on Shabbos and stuff like that. Can you rent your store to a business which is going to be open on Shabbos? That's not a partial thing. Renting, I guess, also is a problem. The truth is, if you think about it, renting should be a problem. Renting a house, an apartment, for somebody who's not a Avodah Zarah. So we ask, and Christians are not a Avodah Zarah, right? Lakula, but Ushaila is what about, the Hindu, a Pakistani? I don't know. It's a good question.
So here it says, to the person who's holding a resort, it says to the person to Avodah Zarah.
Look at the carbonator. If he puts in Avodah Zarah, they should nikra al shmo because it's your house. Everybody knows it's your house.
So he has to bring in the Avodah Zarah.
Yeah. Right.
So it's not just the person per se. So you're saying somebody has idol worship.
Ketchkas. Yeah.
He has little statues or something.
Buddhas. Yeah. That's what it's asking here. Okay? When it's now to send letters in the hands of non-Jewish mailmen, lo be'er of Shabbos, not on Friday, lo be'chamisha of Shabbos, nor on Thursday. Be'shami osri ma'afilu b'rvi, be'silu asus, even on Wednesday. Be'silu matir, be'silu says permissible. Now, permissible sounds like it's only matir on Wednesday, of course, not on Thursday or Friday. Our post offices are structured differently, obviously. In those days, you know, when you sent a letter carrier, you were personally sending him to carry a letter somewhere, right? Nowadays, it doesn't work that way. So therefore, nowadays, we really don't answer, even putting in the mailbox a moment before Shabbos, as many of us are prone to do. But that's hypothetically. Hypothetically, if you send somebody specifically for you, so it would be usher, yes.
Well, you know that he's going to be picking up the delivery anyway, you know, from the mail.
Right, because there's so many letters there, right.
But there's an extra letter there because you put it.
So right, but that work is not, you know, not unique, so therefore...
You personally appoint him to be...
That's right. Okay. Amro Lav Rabbi Yossi HaKohen, the secretary of Mr. Kohen, is obviously a very pious individual. Shalonim took Sovo Biarako Miyolo. He never gave a letter to a goy. Why? Because he was afraid the goy would transport it on Shabbos. Emar Fishin Yamagodon was not allowed to set sail to sea, Lo Be'er of Shabbos, Lo Be'chamisha B'Shabbos.
Can I just go back a second? In terms of sending a letter,
yeah.
I'm just curious. This is just a person, this non-Jewish person, agreed without pay to take the letter, or was he paid?
No, he was paid. Yeah.
He was paid to do it.
Yeah, sure.
What happens if he volunteered?
Same idea, though. Well, what would be the difference?
I don't know.
No, he's doing locker for you. It's no good.
Because the fact he's your shliach.
Yeah. That's part of Amir Lakum.
What about FedEx?
FedEx, I don't know. I think FedEx is nowadays is really like mail. I guess the problem there by FedEx is on when they deliver.
Yeah, two-day delivery.
Two-day delivery, and it's an individual delivery. So there are people who are machmir on that. The answer would be that, you know, you're not the guy who delivers is not the guy you appointed. It's the guy because it's not one guy who takes from beginning to end. So by the time it gets there, that's somebody else really, who the company has sent, not you. And that would be the heter. I don't know. I think people do rely on that. That it's not you hiring them. The guy goes on his own.
Even though you know it's going to be delivered on Saturday.
Right.
Like even overnight, you know,
right.
Friday.
Right. Because you know, because he does. Also, in nowadays, especially if you. The odds are that since so many people send express mail, especially to businesses and things like that, the odds are he won't do any malachos specifically for you. What malachos are you going to do for you?
He's delivering your package.
Yeah, but that might not require any malacha. It just means that if he's already in the building or the vicinity, and there's an Eruv, certainly.
He's driving the truck.
Yeah, but he's driving for many letters, not just for your letter.
That building is the delivery he's making.
You don't know that.
Right.
It could be he's making other deliveries. The only thing is if a signature is required, then that could be a problem. Because the signature you're demanding. Okay? Is the program over? It didn't start yet? Or
what?
It came in the middle?
Oh, no. I just finished davening Merv.
When are the festivities?
It starts now.
Okay. So, you're amazing. Appreciate Mr. Snevers for being here. The truth is, I don't know what the heter is. I was discussing this last night. I don't know what the heter for live music is tonight. But,
It's at the Rabbanut HaRashit, apparently, Haskin, that tonight and tomorrow is the official.
With live music? I don't think they usually have psak ever on that. That's not the type of thing they issue a psak on.
They made a nitcha.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they never issue a psak on things like that. Sing is okay. You can sing all the time. For some people, sing is a tsar. All right. First Yom HaTzmut was on a Friday. The British left Israel on Friday. All right. Did you all know that? I have to teach you guys everything. All right, let's go on.
That's why we're here.
The British version of Israel, they
have. Yeah, I heard about it, yeah. On NPR. Says Gemara further. Am officially Yama Goro. We're on top of you, Gimel Amrav. Yeah, by little Aleph. Ema Pishayama Gorim was not allowed to set sail for to an ocean, low bear of Shabbos, low Chamisha Shabbos on a Friday and not on Thursday. Now, there are four reasons given, and probably more, but four. The Rambam says because you get seasick. The Rabbala Morris says because you might have to be Mechal Shabbos, you know, because you're at sea. The Ramban says because the sailors are doing Malacha for you. And there are others who say that's because you might come to make flotation devices. So all these four reasons are given not to set sail, not on Erev Shabbos nor on Thursday, only earlier in the week. B'Shama says not even on Wednesday. B'Shama says you're allowed to go out on Wednesday. Now, this is clearly a typo. In the way the two of Yerushalayim here on the bottom fixes it up, he says, in other words, it was a short trip. Like, let's say you're taking a harbor tour, right?
Or you're in Venice.
Or you're in Venice, right. So, Kagomi Tzor such as from Tyre to Sidon, which is very short, right? So that's Mutter even on Friday, all right? Ema Kifin Sakon is obviously a mistake. There's no danger in that. Ema Kifin Al Ir Shel Akum, when it's not allowed to lay siege to a city of Goyim, Pachz Mishlesh Yomim Kodim Shabbos, less than 3 days before Shabbos. Hodet Eim Reel Chams Rishus. That's only by an optional war. Milchem Ischev in a mandatory war, such as the conquest of the land of Israel, Afilu B'Shabbos. One could even lay siege on Shabbos. We found that Yericho was not conquered only on Shabbos. El B'Shabbos receive Kota says Sheshes Yomim. This is due to the 6 days. Even it says B'Yom Hashvi the 7th day Tosubu Seir Sheva Pamim, should surround the city 7 days. Now, however, that's only to begin a war. Once you began the war, Uksiv, it says, Ad Riditor, until you destroyed Afilu B'Shabbos. So once in the middle of the war, you continue the war on Shabbos until you vanquish your enemy. Now, I'm a little bit bothered by this one. I want to say Lomdus, even though I know it's not Poshut. It says, Milchemes Chayvi, you're allowed to start on Shabbos. It makes no sense. How can you start a war on Shabbos, right? So many Surim involved. So I want to say it's like Yericho. In Yericho, they didn't really wage war. They just walked around, right? And then the walls came tumbling down, right? What you're allowed to do is you're allowed to engage in the activities which are surrounding warfare as long as they're not d'oraisos on Shabbos. Even if it's, I'm talking about now where it's not pikuach nefesh, right? But Milchemes Chov is a mandatory war which is not pikuach nefesh. You can engage in warlike activities even though it's Shabbos, and it's not contrary to the spirit of Shabbos, but we do not have a riot from Yericho that one can be Mechal Shabbos. Because Yericho, they weren't Mechal Shabbos. What we have a riot to is you can engage in a war on Shabbos, but not in transgressing. Yes, well, you're sneering.
I don't think it's correct. There is a Mechal.
Yeah. No, but that's different because that's preemptive danger. Right. That's preemptive danger, but that's a famous.
It started on Monday.
It's a famous.
It could have happened on Shabbos.
There's a famous case in, I don't know if it's famous. It's famous for us. We learned in Shalvim before the 6-7 war when they were on the border, so they had the Arabs were encroaching on the fields around Shalvim, and they got a psak from Shlomo Zalman that they could go out and work the fields on Shabbos in order to prevent pre-1967. So that because there's such halacha that if the goyim are coming, what you're saying, if the goyim are coming and encroaching upon you, even if they're not actually engaging in warfare, one is allowed to be mechal Shabbos in order to preempt them. But I don't think that that's the same thing here. This Milchemes Chova against Yericho was not to preempt the goyim. It was not a preemptive strike. It was a conquestive strike.
But they're making a rule for any Milchemes Mitzvah, and not just limited. You want to limit this concept of Milchemes
Chova
to something comparable to Yericho.
That's right.
But we're talking about a more generalized rule, mm-hmm. that Lachemes Mitzvah, as here called Lachemes Chova, that you can do it any time. Which means that Mute Akam Delesalah, to conquer Eretz Yisrael.
You can begin on Shabbos.
That's right.
You're happy with that?
I'm very happy with
okay,
that.
I'm not so happy with that. What can I tell you? Why can't you wait till Sunday?
Why?
Yeah.
Because the guy won't think that the Jews are going to start the war on Shabbos. So that's like a surprise.
But that I understand, but in case of Sakonis to Fashos, why is that okay even where it's not a Sakonis to Fashos? That's what I understand.
Your mind in copying the fulfillment of the mitzvah saseh, of Kibbutz Eretz Yisrael.
Mm-hmm.
Why should you hold back?
Uh-huh. All right, maybe. Look, I certainly don't have a proof against you. Halacha test. Beishamrim ain't nostim oris labdo. One cannot give hides to a tanner, milo kelim lekoybes, nor garments to a launderer who's nachri, who's a goy. Elikadesh yasim b'hodiyom, unless the work will be finished from before Shabbos begins. The kulam beisul materiyim mashemesh beisul, so you can do it right. Give it to him right before sunset. You know, you rush into the cleaners right before sunset. Say here's the clothes. That's okay. Amr Shigamil said, the custom in my father's house was, they would give the white clothes to a non-Jewish launderer 3 days prior to Shabbos, not less than 3 days before Shabbos. Rishavin Elu Velo, however, both Beisil and Beisham agree, Shetorani Bekoros Beis Abad Vigulei Agas, you can put the beams on the oil presses and the grape presses on right before Shabbos, and that's okay. And I'm always going to explain why. All right? At Eicha, how far before Shabbos do you have to give it to the launderer? Now, here's a big machlokas between the Karvan Eida and the Pnei Moshe. The Karvan Eida says that, according to Beis Hillel, how long before Shabbos do you have to give them? In other words, you can't give mamish right before Shabbos. How long before Shabbos can you give it to a goy? According to Beis Moshe, no! Of course, according to Beis Hillel, give it right before Shabbos. The Shabbos, according to Beis Shammai, what's considered to be long enough before Shabbos that one can give it to a goy at that point? So it says the Gemara, Rabbi Chunya, Kamada Ad Echon Yevo, let us say concerning this, Kamada Ma Rabbi Yochum Shem, Rabbi Chunya, like Rabbi Yochum said, name Rabbi Chunya, Akadei Hiluch Arba Mil. The amount of time it takes to walk 4 mil, which according to various different shittas is 72 minutes, 90 minutes, 96 minutes before Shabbos. That's how much time you have to give it before Shabbos, either again according to the Korban Eid, even according to Beis Hillel, or according to the Pnei Moshe, according to Beis Shammai. Okay? Vika, now the Korban Eid takes out the word Vika altogether. The Pnei Moshe has a convoluted shot on it. I would say if it's supposed to be here, it's a name. Somebody's name, Vaka. Vaka, Nasam Kalev Lekoves Nochri. Certain individual gave his cane to a non-Jewish launderer, Uba Motza Ovi Baba Shabbos. And when he came past the launderer's house, he saw the launderer working on Shabbos on it, right? So also, you're not allowed to use those kalim in that Shabbos, right? Because you have to assume that the guy, when you saw the guy working them on Shabbos, it's also. Now, this is even according to Beis Hillel. Even according to Beis Hillel, says you're allowed to give it to him. That's only if you don't go and see this working on Shabbos. If you go and see this working on Shabbos, then that's forbidden. And not only you now let's use it on Shabbos, I'm Rabbi Yudan, but yay my late lo yavod. You got to tell the guy, stop working on my clothes. You can't allow him to continue. If you see him working on your clothes, you can't allow him to continue. You have to tell him to stop.
So
okay?
Even though he had a time enough to before Shabbos.
Right. And even though it's picky boilers. Right, it's contracted, it's not, it's right, you're not paying him by the hour, a cleaner, nonetheless you got to tell him to stop if you see him actually doing it. Okay? Amar Rabbi Yehudan, the moral of the story is don't go into your cleaners on Shabbos. Amar Rabbi Yehudan, avoid the Rabbi Masnaya. Rabbi Yehudan, but the father Masnaya said, it's not always true. How did the Tamar, who did Tamar, betovas hanoya? It's only true where the guy is working for free. So he's doing you a favor, so you'd have to tell him, I don't want you to do me a favor. In other words, you're going to owe him a favor at the end. But if he's making money on the deal, even if it's working on Shabbos, everybody knows no maritime why, because of Vidatei Asik. Why is he working on Shabbos? Because he wants to make money. He's not doing it for you, but he's doing it for his own salary. This is like I told you before, the heter of a mailman, right? Potential heter of a mailman. He's not doing it for you, he's doing it for his salary, so therefore won't be allowed to send with the Federal Express guy on Shabbos.
But the laundry, you're paying by the piece. The launderer is not getting paid by the hour.
But he's not working for you. The Maris sign was what? That he's working for you. Yeah. He's not working for you. What's he working for? The money.
Yeah, but you're giving him the money.
That may be, but he's not. The reason why he's working on Shabbos is not because I want it quicker, but because he wants to get paid quicker. It's a fine line, but it's a difference enough to make it not Maris sign. I'm not the one telling him to do it on Shabbos. His desire to have money as quickly as possible, that's him making work on Shabbos. Okay?
So
you're not convinced, are you?
No.
Well, I didn't think so. Okay. Well, it's not so bad. Oh, come on. Scale of 1 to 10, this is not the biggest subterfuge we've ever had.
So if I go into Christina's right before Shkia,
yes.
I can do that. According to Base Hill.
Of course you can, yeah.
Okay, even though, and I don't tell her not to.
You're not going
to
pick up till Monday anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Right.
If you came in on Shabbos and saw her working at it, don't go in.
Right.
Right, it's going past Bnei Reuven, right? Going to Bnei Reuven, and so you see, oh, Christina's working on my pants, you got to go in and tell her to stop. But, not according to our Gemara. Because according to our Gemara, now the Maskana, it's only if she was doing it for free, but she's doing it for her money, so we say she's doing it for her money, not for me. Okay? I'm Rav Shir Gamliel, Noegim, are you Beisaba? They will give their clothes more than 3 days before Shabbos, the white clothes. Lom Rol Levarim, it's only the white clothes, so it's Vim Lo, not the color clothes. Levidar Kedel Lamanu, according on our way here, we learned, Shalavani question the Chayav Esirus Min Tzura, it's harder to get whites than it is to get colored. Clean. Okay? They both agree one is allowed to put the olives or grapes into the press. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi ben Chanina, Tavei and Omri, they both say, why is that mutter? Because kvar nekor kol tipo tipo mikoima. Each and every drop is already moved from its place. What does it mean it's moved from its place? In other words, the pressure has already been exerted. We had this yesterday. The pressure has been already exerted on every grape and olive from before Shabbos. So since that's begun, so therefore, Beit Shammai allows this and sanctions this case. Now, interestingly, Rabbi Yachob, I'm Rabbi Yisrael Chanina, boy, he asked, Mao Liga B'Moshech, are you allowed to touch or use the wine or olive oil, which is flowing now on Shabbos? Nor, of course, hypothetically, there's an issue of dosh involved, right? But you began the process from before Shabbos, so it's not squeezing out on Shabbos, it's squeezing out from before Shabbos. So what's the status of what's flowing out? So Rabban in the case of Armin, the rabbis in Caesarea said, Yisparagun Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yisrael Chanina, Yismachogus, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yisrael Chanina. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Os, Rabbi Yochanan says that which is flowing is forbidden. Rabbi Yisrael Chanina Amar Muta, which is flowing is permissible. Masdisa Pliga, in other words, it's considered ready. Why it should be permissible? Consider once you already exerted pressure and cracked the olives and grapes, so whatever flows out is considered ready to be, have been, had a halachic status of liquid before Shabbos from the moment the fruit was cracked in whatever container is holy in. Okay, Masisa Pliga Rabbi Yisrael Chanina, there's a brisa which argues Rabbi Yisrael Chanina, the brisa says, Rishavin, that everybody agrees, Shloiga Moshe, you may not touch the grape juice or olive oil flowing out. Okay? Halachiyud, Ain Tolim Basar Batzel Ubeitza, what is not allowed to roast meat, onion, or eggs, unless they will be completely roasted from before Shabbos begins. One may not put a piece of bread or a loaf of bread into an oven right before nightfall, nor a cake onto coals, unless we know that it's going to form a crust from before Shabbos. Now, this is less stringent than the ratio. The ratio required that it be fully roasted from before Shabbos. Here it only has to form a crust. That's sufficient. Rabbi Lezi Mormekla says, Omer Kadesh Yikram Atachtam Shula. You only need the bottom crust to be formed, not the top crust. So Rabbi Boon Bar Kana B'Shem Rabbanan said, Tavshul Shin is Baruch and the Yishbashul called Tzorko. If you have a pot which is completely cooked, Mutu La Shul, so one is allowed to leave it. Agabi Rikira Shein Akduma, even on top of a stove which has not been emptied of its coals. Why? Because it's fully cooked. Rabbi Zira Boy, Rabbi Zira asked, he assumed that this is based on the following principle, and therefore he could query concerning this. Basar Batzul Beitzah, the meat, the onions, and the eggs. Mitzdamek the Rilo, does it, as it stays on the fire, as it gets successively worse, literally successively worse, literally does it shrivel and is it bad for it, in which case I can understand why you permitted to leave it on the fire. Or, and on the other hand, other foods, zeh meaning other foods, mitzdamek v'yofilo, they get better as they stay in the fire, and therefore it's forbidden to leave them on the fire. I don't think I read this fully correctly. So the way it's a question, leading up to this question. Let me do it from the bottom of the alph again, because I misread it. Rabbi Zira Boy, Basa Batzul Beitza Mitzdamek Mitzdamek Varalo, Zem Mitzdamek Viyofilo, Vata Marachain, and everything else, however, it gets better as it stays on, right? So if everything else gets better on as it stays on, so they should all be forbidden. Why do we mention that they're all forbidden? Dilmat loy samarta elachamin. Maybe that which you said you're allowed to leave stuff on the fire before Shabbos is not even basar, batzel, and beitzah. Maybe it's only chamin, which is like hot water, and gets worse as it goes on because more of it evaporates, right? I didn't skip. I skipped in Mashbiach. Mashbiach says, Dilma here means a maisa, just like all over the Ushami. Says it's a maisa, the lois amris alachamin. It's a maisa, which happened once. Somebody heard that the only thing allowed to leave on the fire is something which is mitzdamek viralo, something which is getting worse as it stays longer on the fire. That's what you heard. Asked Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Shmuel then came. Boy, Rabbi Zin, he asked Rabbi Zira. It says stuff which is hot, which is fully cooked. Also, one is not allowed to leave it on a fire which is not swept out. In other words, when the coals are not yet swept out. Rabbi Bivush and Rabbi Yochanan said, "Tavshil shorsh is bashil kumvachal ben jusoi." If, however, you have even an ox meat, which is very tough, which got cooked one third of its cooking, mutar zero gabi kira ketuma. One is allowed to put it back on top of a swept out, covered, a grufa swept out, on top of coals which are covered. So we see it's not so posh that mitzdamik v'yofilo is also, right? Because these are things where mitzdamik v'yofilo, and you're allowed to put it there. Not only that, you're allowed to put it back once you took it off. And now you're allowed to take it back. You're allowed to take it back even if it only got a third of its way cooked beforehand. Look at all these coolers we have, right? So how can you say nita mitzdamik v'ralo? Even mitzdamik v'yofilo, even if it's not truly fully cooked, you can still put it back, right? Yes?
Could
that be insulated? Mm-hmm. It just means covered? It's when the coals are covered, yeah. Okay. Rabbi Yochan. This is going like Rabbi Yaakov Barad, say name Rabbi Yochan. Somebody who rests a pot on top of coals on Shabbos, Masim bo l'kshayis bashel, we warn him that if you leave it on the fire, that it should get cooked. Kachilas ben jusoy to the shir machu ben jusoy, which is either a third or a half. Usher. Now the carbonator changes the gears here to chayef, meaning that if I put a pot on a fire on Shabbos, Rabbi Yisai, and leave it there and it cooks machu ben jusoy, that's it. They stone me to death. Finished. Right. So that's the flip side of that is, that we were said by the Besar Shor, by the ox meat, if from before Shabbos it's cooked kimacho ben drusoi, then I could leave it on the oven on Shabbos, right? I might even be allowed to take it back if I put it back if I took it off. But you certainly could leave it there from before Shabbos, right? Rabbi Yaakov bar Tanum bar Shchia, b'shem Rishim Rabbi Chamin said, Shem Rabbi Shem Rebbe said, Chamin Chukma Kol Turkon, hot water which is fully heated, Mutar La'asina Gabi Kira Shena Kduma. You'll have to put it back on top of a fire, even though it's not covered with ash. Rabbi Zira said, I don't understand. Before you said it's not allowed to leave anything on this stove, which is not Kduma. And now you're saying, you're allowed to put something back even? How do you reconcile what you said before with what you're saying now? So it says the Gemara, Dilma, again here the Mashbiach says, the Maise, Lois Amritz, Elal Pesach. The truth is, the only time you're allowed to put back something in the oven on Shabbos if it's not fully cooked is a Korn Pesach. Korn Pesach you're allowed to put in even if it's Kamacha Ben Josoi cooked. Everything else you're only allowed to put back if it's Nizbash or Cold Circle, right? It might ought to be Mitztamik Viralo. That's what we're discussing on top. Let's be Mitztamik Viralo or not. But the only thing which you could back, even though it sounded like before, like you didn't even put ox meat back after it's Kamacha Ben Josoi, it's not true. Why? Dilma, we have a Maisa where we learned Leisamisel Pisco. You can only do Chazar and Pesach. The truth is, I think I just made a boo boo. The ox meat before was that Shia or Chazara? Yeah, it's Shia, not Chazara, right? Shia, right. Here we're talking about Chazara. So as I was saying, the only time Chazara is Mutar al Korn Pesach. Okay. Only Chazara. Shehiya is Mutar. Even if it's only Kamacho Ben Jusoy. Even if it's Mitzamek Viofalo, like ox meat. Where's Chazara Mutar, wherever? That's what they're saying. Chazor is only mutter by what? Korn Pesach. Okay? By Korn Pesach, we're going to see momentarily. No, not because that, because there's a reason. They're not going to be, since there's reason, Chazal weren't going around them. Chazal allowed them to put it back.
But even the Korn Pesach has to be Michael Ben Destroy. Sorry.
I'm saying that now, but I might not say that in 5 minutes. Okay? Says the Gemara further. Asa Rabbi Yaakov Shem Rabbi Shem Berebi, Peso Shenitza called Tzorko, not if it's Malchum Ben Josoi. It has to be called Tzor only if it's Pesach is fully roasted, Mutal Achzira Gabi Kiro Shehek Duma. I have to put it back, but then there's still a Kula. What does the Kula have? You can put it out even without a blech, right? Because kotum is a blech, you don't need a blech. Put it back on the oven even without a blech. No, it's only because of Korn Pesach. I mean, ain't bishulach rabishul, yeah, but it's only mutter by Korn Pesach, not by anything else. But everything else, we're not allowed to put it back on open fire, only on a blech. Okay? Again, after the next mishul, we'll explain that more. Ain't us is a pas betanur. When it's not supposed to put an oven in, a piece of bread in the oven for Shabbos, well, that's going to get baked from before Shabbos, but not fully baked, even if it just forms a crust. Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Shem, Rabbi Yassi said, why is that? What about? The reason saying no shim apatsu yosim in atavshu. Because women are more careful about bread than cooked dishes. What does it mean they're more careful? Mabin pas, mabin chad tavshu. What's the difference between bread and cooked dishes? So it's more a tavshu, darku lecho roseach. A dish of food you eat hot. Pas ein darku lecho roseachas. You don't eat hot bread. Hot bread was considered very dangerous. We'll see why in a minute. So therefore, they would let it cool down before they served it. So therefore, there's less of a problem that you might come to leave the bread to bake on Shabbos. Why? Because you don't want to serve piping hot fresh bread. It's not good for you, right? Why it's not good for you? Says the Gemara, Tam and Omin, they said over there, I assume Bovel, pas cham, if you eat hot bread, chamso, you get a fever. Chamso betzido, there's a fever next to it. Now, once we'll, now we'll, once on a tangent, let's go off on a tangent. Tzira, if you get bit by a wasp, tzone, then you treat it with cold water. Akka, if you get bit by a scorpion, chami, you treat it with hot water. Madamachlif, he who treats a wasp bite with hot water, or a scorpion bite with cold water, sakona, he might as well drop dead. Moed Rabbi Lezer b'lechem aponim. However, you should know, even though Rabbi Lezer said in our Mishnah that you only need is to have even one side of the crust form before Shabbos begins, only one is sufficient. Even one is sufficient. Eino kriya lechem b'lechem aponim by the bread and base of Mikdash. Eino kriya lechem. It's not called the bread properly. Ad sheikrumu panevatan, or unless it's fully baked crust on all sides in the oven. Okay. Now, getting back to the Korban Pesach. Mishal Shulin, Es HaPesach LeTanur Im Chashecho. You're allowed to put the Korban Pesach in the oven right before nightfall. U'machzinas U'rbim Duras Beis HaMoke. It's setting the fire in the Beis HaMoke, which was the place of the Kohanim to warm themselves up in the Beis HaMikdash. You can set even one corner of the fire and that's sufficient. That's only in the Beis HaMikdash. B'gvulin, outside the Beis HaMikdash, k'dei sh'yotis sa'ur b'rubo, most of the wood pile which you're burning must be aflame before Shabbos begins. Rabbi Yudam Rabbeinu says, b'pchamin kol shein, if it's coals, not the majority of the coals have to be lit, as long as some of them are lit, they're going to light the other coals. Tamatin, I got a problem. It says over there, in Masech T'Psachim, Yotzu v'tzolu es pischeya. They would go out and roast their Korban Pesach. When Erev Shabbos came out on Pesach, Erev Pesach came out on Shabbos, then they would not roast their Pesach until nightfall. Until after Pesach began, right? Because on Shabbos, not allowed to do so, right? Vata marachein. So here, how can you possibly allow them to do it im chashecha? Maybe it's going to go into Shabbos, right? And you're not allowed to bake it, and not allowed to roast it on Shabbos. Rabbi Yosef said, Chaburah's reasoning. The Chaburah's who made the Korban Pesach were diligent, and therefore they make sure not to cook Chas V'Shalom on Shabbos. Okay? Pesach Machzir Ad Sholeh. Now, what happens if you started the Pesach before Shabbos, and now you want to put it back on Shabbos, right? You can only put it back if it's still whole, because they used to roast it whole, you know, on a spit. Once it's cut up, you can't put it back in the fire. Rabbi Shmuel B'Shem Rabbi Zira said, because then you might come to make a pasul. How so? Rabbi Yossi V'Yos. Rabbi Yossi said, Yashakoyach, a good smara. I house the chol shalot, they had consul of Shabbos. You roast on Shabbos, you stone eat to death. So therefore, we make sure that to draw a fine line between permissibility and that which is permitted and that which is forbidden. We say, you know what? Mitoshat oimer shumutar. Since you say that you can only roast it whole, right? Avutso enotolo so called tzarko mibodio. I'm sorry. I scratched it. Mitoshat oimer shumutar. Were you to allow the guy to put his cut up Korban Pesach into the oven on Shabbos so that he wouldn't fully cook it from before Shabbos begins, because he'd be confident he can continue during the night. We told Shat Omer Lo Shu Oser, once you tell him it's forbidden that after nightfall he can't put a Korban Pesach in the oven unless it's whole, Oser Afut Sole also called Tzorcha Mibod Yom, he makes sure to do all the necessary cooking from before Shabbos begins. Of course, when Erev Pesach comes on Shabbos, it's not possible, but when Erev Pesach comes on any other day of the week, so then you have the capacity to do as much as possible from before Shabbos begins. Right, but that's where you'll see Shoel. He asked, Soleil Sholim, what if to begin with you did roast it whole? The Chodcho, now you cut it up. Mao Mechzarte Umeshchanise. Can you put it back not to cook but to warm? You put it into a warming oven, right? In order to warm up. And the Gemara doesn't answer, of course. Right? What?
Anyway, if you say you
want to
make it
inside,
it's dry.
Wow, who says it's dry? It's Korban Pesach. There's all sorts of juices in it. Okay, Rabbi Zia, Rabbi Yehuda, B'Shem Rav, said Arba Maduras Koshein. It said in our mission, when you have a bonfire, normally you have to make sure the majority of the bonfire is lit before Shabbos begins, except for the following four. Maduras Hagefes, a bonfire made of peat. Maduras Hazevel, out of fertilizer. Maduras Hachelev, made out of fat. Maduras Galina, made out of pits. Koshein, in all this case, you don't need to make sure the fire takes hold of the majority of the fuel. Even a small amount of fuel would already spread like wildfire. Rabbi B'Shem Rabbi Rashi said, Choysel Shumoli Galinim. If you have a container which is full of pits, Koshein. Then even if you light a little bit of it, sufficient. Rabbi B'Shem Rabbi Chia said, Barashi said, however, Choysel Shumoli Galinim. If you have this package full of pits, Imachunasus, if they're all gathered together, Perubon. You have to at least light a majority of them. Vim Efuzar, they're scattered. Barov called Prater. Each and every cluster has to be lit a majority thereof. Mao, probably what is the argument? What we said previously, we just said previously that if we're talking about a Chosim Shumoli Galinim, yeah, the package full of pits, that you don't need to have even the majority lit, even a little bit, right? So it says more, no. Kambabrius, Kambatosha, depends. If it's good barley pit, date, what are we talking about? Good pits. So then, you can just burn a little bit of them and the rest of them will burn. Kambatosha is if they're weak pits, so not the rest of them burn, and then you have to burn each cluster independently. Okay? Rabbi Yosef Shariyamiya, and Rechanina Matu Bem Shem Rab, say the name of Rab. Charoyos Milamata. If you have date, wood, not date wood, palm wood below. Beitz on the mala and other wood on top of the pile came into Ola Urbain Asai Mutter. Once the fire leaps between the two parts of the pile, that's considered lit and you can continue to leave it lit on Shabbos. Rabbi Chelbo Shem Ravuna said, Kaira Veruba. If you have bark on a tree, you have a tree and you have bark around it, so Barova Kefa. The majority of the circumference of the bark has to be on fire before it's considered to be sufficiently lit for Shabbos. Ma'barova kefa, what does it mean, the majority of the circumference? After all, it's a long log, right? Does it mean mokom echad, one place around circumference, or barova kef kula, or along the circumference of the entire tree, a majority of the circumference all around? Which one is it? Ashkech tain, so we learned, he found a brisa which says, achetivso milasos malacha. I forgot what that means. Oh yeah, you have to make the korah flame, the wood flame, until you can no longer use it. At that point, it's properly lit for Shabbos. So that means achativ sosos malacha. That means that it has to be the majority of the log, because if only the minority of the log is burning, so you just put out the fire and use the rest of it, right? So be some time where it's no longer suitable to the malach at all. So kini masi sap b'chamin kol shein. Came back to our mishnah. Our mishnah said that Rabbi Yehuda said that by b'chamin, by coals, even a minority of fire is lit, even a kosher that's sufficient Shabbos, he meant also by coals, but there are other cases as well, such as Kwanim in the Beis Hamokid, where there's rizim, and the peat fires, and all those fires, where a mashu is sufficient. Hajo and aloch, yitzias for Shabbos. Bamei madlikin. Bamei madlikin, and with what can you light Shabbos candles and whatnot. In madlikin, lo belechesh, you can't use lechesh, nor chosen, lo bechal, these are not good wicks. Not with the green stuff which floats on the water. Nor with pitch, nor with shava, nor with oil, with wax. Nor with castor oil. Nor with oil which is made out of trum, which must be burned. Not with fats on the tail. Not with forbidden fats. One is allowed to use kovavukt fat. But makes a difference if it's cooked or not, you're not allowed to use it. Okay? Lo belechesh. What is lechesh? Luncha. I bet you all know what luncha is, right? Bet you all care, right? Rabbi Yaakov Hashem Rabbi Laiho Dadinun. It's Dadinun. I mean, they said, Hiyadah, Hiyadah, have no fear. Lon Tren Dadin on it is the exact same commodity. For Lo B'Choset, you may not need a use Choset. Rabbi Chaimashera? Yeah, it's something for which you make wicks. From fiber. Okay? Rabbi... I lost my place. Lo Choset. Rabbi Chaimashera, Rabbi Pilchot said, Pishish Lon Inara, it's linen or flax, which has not yet been combed. My Dharma, like it says, Vaya Chason Lin Ores, the Chason, it's going to be Noris, in other words, it's going to be fuel for a fire. Well, the Chaloch, what's Chaloch? Agvun Kesari, Caesarian Agvun. Our Shingam Leo said, Chazarti Akon Farshir, I went to all the sailors, Vomli, and they said, Kulcha Shmo, its name is Kulcha. Well, the Silas Idar, what's Silas Idar, the wick of the Idan tree, or Nisar? Well, the Silas Idar, what is that? Like it sounds like a wick which grows in the desert. Kitan demoy, that's water flax. Not with oil, not with pitcher, not with wax. Akalpsilos, until then, including the green algae on the stuff. That you are going to use for psilos, for wicks. For now, we're discussing what you're going to use as oils. Rav Shabbi Yochanan said, "Ibnei Shor Nimshoch LaChoyrav." Why are you not allowed to use all these oils? Because the fire retreats. Ushocheh Chumotzis Apsila, and you'll take out the wick. Now, I think I got that white. Let me check. Both by the wicks and by the fuel, he says, because it doesn't seize properly. You're afraid you're going to kill the curse, ruin the whole setup because it's not burning properly anyway, right? Another reason is, but well, he said at the end of the previous paragraph, how you need the fire to already have consumed the majority of the fuel, and here that's not the case. Why is here not the case? Because here it's a very distinct minority. It might not even work at all based on prior experience, right? Rabbi Zir asked, Me'ato, if that's the case, Psila, Tzrichot, also, Berova Doik. And you should, whenever you use a wick, you should have to write the majority, light the majority of the wick before you, Shabbos candles, you should have to light the majority of the wick, right? You're going to draw pallets in the previous bag, so you should have to have most of your wick lighted from before Shabbos begins. Shabbos is very rarely the case, right? Is that clear? Is the clear question clear?
I understand the question. I just didn't realize that
a
Shabbos candle, you don't light most of the wick.
Of course you don't light most of the wick. You just light the tippy top.
But you know that it's going to burn down.
Yeah, but that shouldn't be enough. That's our kasha. It should not be enough. If you're going to draw a parallel to the previous parak, so it should not be enough that it's quality wick. You should have to light the majority of it.
They're worried that it's going to go out.
What?
Aren't they worried that it's going to go out if you don't light the majority of it?
No, we're not. Why not? That's the one's question. And as I'm sure if Avosher Miyogun said, Silas, how could Silas Tzrichot also Barov HaDelek? You talk you have to light the majority of each wick. Right? You talk you have to do that. Wait a minute. They asked, how could this be? For a Kora, what about with a beam? Hello, Tzasa or Barov HaDelek? We said by a beam that you lit before Shabbos. So what we said is you need the majority of the circumference, but not the majority of the beam. Big difference, right? You need the majority of the circumference, but not the beam itself. Vashisisa, also by Shisisa, which is a regular wick of a candle. Well, like we're discussing here. You don't light the majority of the wick, right? Harelu Tassor Barov Delek. I'm Rabbi Sime. Rabbi Sime said, Lokin Rabbi Zira. Did not Rabbi Zira say, Rabbi Yehuda, Shem Rab. I'm a Duras Kol Shem. There are four types of bonfires. We don't have to light the majority of the bonfire, rather a little bit because it'll spread quickly. Maduras Ageves, the bonfire of peat. Maduras Azeva, the bonfire of garbage. Maduras Achir, the bonfire made out of fat. Maduras Kalinim and a bonfire made out of pits, kosher. No matter how little, it's sufficient. And so from this we learn that wherever it's an efficient and quick fire, you don't have to light the majority of the fire. Only a small amount suffices. Even a small amount suffices. So the same thing we say is true about a wick on Shabbos. A wick on Shabbos, you don't have to light the majority of the wick. You just light the tippy top. That's sufficient because already it's going to spread properly and rapidly down the rest of the wick. I have another proof for this. Now I'm afraid I'm going to muff this up because Mashbiach changed the gears and I don't have it in front of me, but let me try anyway. Didn't Rebbe teach us Shabbos Shachalias b'Chanukah? When Shabbos comes on the Chanukah, also Lirosmat Be'ah L'Or Chanukah. You're not allowed to see a wick by candlelight and see what's going on, even though it's Shabbos candles. So says Mar Areya no Shchiach Humotzi Sabsila.
I knew I was going to get it wrong.
All right, let's leave it for now because I don't have the Mashbiach in front of me. I forgot what he said, and anyway, we did more than two blot, so we start from Od Minah Do tomorrow.